What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select, the Fightful Report podcast. Ahead of this week, I will be on quote-unquote vacation from the 25th to the middle of the 28th, but we still got Fightful Select scoops planned, scheduled, up for you guys. You are not going to miss any content as a result of this little few-day trip, which I will be going to MSG for the December 26th house show, so got to get a little bit of work done there, but let's jump right into it. Let's talk about what was really the big story on Fightful Select this week. I did a Twitter Spaces, I want to say last Sunday, maybe, and I mentioned that I would have some CM Punk news this week and that it would be pretty good news. I mean, honestly, outside of the Ryan Nemeth thing, it's all been good news since he came back. It's like I haven't heard of any particular issues regarding CM Punk, which is good and a far cry from what existed in AEW. But upon him returning, one of those people that I had mentioned wasn't too keen on him coming back was Roman Reigns. I had been pretty transparent about that. And along the way, there have been people that, quite frankly, did not like CM Punk that ended up working with him. In fact, almost everybody that he's worked with are people that had issues with him. Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, and everything has ended up okay. Now, sources in WWE tell Fightful Select that Roman Reigns versus CM Punk has been heavily discussed and is even planned for WrestleMania. Now, we are 4 months away. This was not the plan as of a couple months ago. None of their plans included The Rock a couple months ago. And ultimately, if The Rock strolls in and says, I'm working WrestleMania, almost everything can change. It creates a domino effect all the way up and down the card. And I'm sure that's something that WWE have had to discuss. Like, what if The Rock just shows up and creates something like that? But Roman Reigns and CM Punk have had one televised singles match nearly 11 years ago. It was on the Old School Raw edition in January 2014. Roman Reigns won. It was a good, lengthy match. Obviously, Roman Reigns, far more seasoned, experienced, and the like now, and in a much different place there. But after CM Punk left WWE, he did the Colt Cabana podcast, and he had the line to make Roman look strong. Now, granted, WWE was already pushing Roman Reigns down the throat of fans, but that definitely added a little bit of, I don't want to say insult, added a little bit of grief in that sense. And I don't think that CM Punk really said much of anything that was a shot at Roman Reigns. He spoke very candidly, and I feel very honestly. He said, it's clearly the guy they wanted to get over. Don't know why they didn't just have him beat me in this situation, but CM Punk only had a handful of matches in WWE after that match with Roman Reigns. He lost to Roman Reigns on the January 6th edition of that show. The Shield beat he and the New Age Outlaws on SmackDown. The Shield beat he and the New Age Outlaws on Raw because they would just run the same damn matches back every single week. And then he ended up beating Billy Gunn. Then the Royal Rumble happened, and that was that. But he was working with The Shield very heavily for a number of months before he left, and lots of history there. And obviously this would be a major match, a big time match. Don't know if it means CM Punk will get his WrestleMania main event. Hard for me to believe that Cody isn't a main eventer in some sense. If Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair end up facing one another, that seems like a match that could end up main eventing as well. But a lot of this will hinge on what the hell will The Rock do. So we got confirmation this week from WWE, both on their website, and I confirmed it with WWE directly. SmackDown is going to 3 hours in 2025. So that's obviously an interesting approach. A lot of people have been jockeying to get on Raw because of the Netflix situation. I had spoken to talent since the move back to two-hour Raws that had voiced some frustration about not being able to get on TV, but as of today, talent have not been told the length of WWE Raw. I can tell you guys that I asked WWE very, very clearly a number of times about run times for both of these. And back in the fall, I was told, well, SmackDown's staying 2 hours for now. And then when I asked about Raw, there was no real detail given. So here's how we got here. Raw was 3 hours under the previous media deal. with WWE and Universal, which owns USA Network. However, there was a gap from October to the end of the year because the Netflix deal doesn't start until January. WWE needed a home for their show to the point to where they didn't even factor any rights fee deals, so to speak, into their quarterlies as a result. So anything they would get is extra compared to their forecasting. They reached an extension with USA Network to allow them to remain on the air for October, November, December. Now, this caused a few different changes. One, there was a two-hour spot given to WWE Raw, and WWE was able to do a series of double tapings because of the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, European travel, overseas travel, and the like. They were able to combine these tapings, so they were taping at a far reduced rate, so they were able to save some money there. Now, they did this with SmackDown a couple times as well, but now that the new year is kicking off, SmackDown moves to 3 hours. Talent have not been told the length of WWE Raw. In fact, they were speculating the same thing that was like sort of hinted at me, was that, oh, well, you know, maybe it goes 2 hours 1 week, 3 hours the next, 2.5 the next. But like, this is WWE Raw going on Netflix all across the globe, which is a rarity for a show like WWE Raw. Like, usually they are beholden to some TV deal somewhere else that has a hard out. And as best I know, they aren't necessarily beholden to that. So that is something to definitely keep your eye on because, man, this is a very unique situation that we haven't necessarily seen a ton of in WWE. Exciting times between Netflix, Max, all that good stuff. I mean, pro wrestling is on so many different platforms. Some more details from WWE and WWE TV. The claim internally to Fightful was that the tag team titles would be defended more under the Viking Raiders. I respectfully hit the person that said that to me back with a, yeah, we'll see. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You ain't gonna fool me again. But I've heard this so many times with different title belts and different things that they have sort of been the catalyst for change, so to speak. We will see how that goes. I would like to think so because they almost never got defended under Judgment Day because they had their hands in so many different things. And I am of the belief that the War Raiders will likely be heavily factored into the tag team scene as opposed to everything else. Some details from WWE TV this week. Wrestlers did get a lot more time on Raw due to the double tapings. They had their office Christmas party on December 18th. This was in conjunction with the Netflix media event, or the Netflix, yeah, I guess you could call it a media event. We were invited to that a couple days ahead of time, but I couldn't make that trip, but hopefully next time I will be going to the MSG show this upcoming Thursday, I believe it is. Some writer news as well. Brian Yang wrote Liv Morgan's promo on Raw. Alexandra Williams was listed as the writer on CM Punk's promo on Raw as well. Alexandra Williams has been doing a lot of the writing for the CM Punk promos of late. Corey Brennan had reported that this week's NXT was titled Photo Finish. They were happy with how the show's end or the finish of the show came across, and CM Punk was said to have been keeping a close eye on rehearsals at the tapings. We have an LA Knight update. This one was a very interesting one because, again, we had no reason to doubt. I wouldn't call them a partner, but somewhere that WWE was doing an appearance through. It was, I think, a wine and spirit store of some capacity, and LA Knight was pulled from an upcoming appearance, sort of. We're told by WWE that LA Knight was actually never approved for that appearance. I don't know if he accepted it without it being approved or they promoted it without being approved, but it was a WWE appearance in some capacity because they did send Braun Strowman to fill in for that. I don't know what exactly went down there, but WWE is claiming that LA Knight is not injured for those that are worried. Whether or not that you know is true, we'll see. But that's at least their claim. and that he wasn't actually approved for that appearance. Kenny Omega. So this is actually a story I had drafted, and then they aired the vignette on Wednesday, and I was like, well, son of a bitch. But Kenny Omega, we had reported that he was likely to appear on AEW TV before he goes back over to Japan. Now, from what I understand, he heads back to Japan on New Year's Day for the January 5th show, Wrestle Dynasty. AEW ran a coming soon or returning soon vignette for him on Wednesday. And those within AEW that I spoke to claim that he is to be back by or around the World's End show. They are taping, or like as I'm filming this, they are actually taping the Hammerstein shows. So if he doesn't come back on those, I would imagine that's probably the date he's going to come back. Do not aggregate that. That is not something that is something you should use for an engagement tweet. Another one that is sort of a foregone conclusion, and another one that I had written up and then they alluded to it on TV. But it's probably a smart thing that they're doing this because, you know, Kenny Omega can help increase some ticket sales, as can Adam Copeland. So FTR have been promoting the January 1st Mother of All simulcasts, which will be the first episode of Dynamite that is simulcast on Max and WBD's TBS. And they've been promoting this, and there have been some attacks from the Death Riders. And FTR just outright said, we won't be coming alone. So I was told a number of weeks ago that Adam Copeland had been cleared for in-ring training and would be returning whenever he got done filming something. I don't know what that something was. Don't know if it was Percy Jackson or something else, but that is who they were alluding to as far as not being alone. Adam Copeland is now living in the Asheville area, which is where that show will take place from. Beautiful area, by the way. Another guy connected to Adam Copeland is Matt Cardona. We saw him take on Adam Copeland earlier this year, and we saw him take on Chris Jericho in a fun match at ROH Final Battle at Hammerstein Ballroom. Now, he had a shirt come out. There had been a lot of discussions. There have been rumors of him being offered a contract. I don't know if that's true or whatever the case may be there, but he had told people that he wasn't signed and wasn't signing as of now with AEW. The details on that are sort of few and far between. However, there were some people saying, oh, well, I guess that means the issues between GCW and AEW are fine. Well, not necessarily. Cardona is not under a GCW contract. In fact, nobody is. They kind of offered an honorary one to Nick Gage, but now that partnership has dissolved. Cardona was on crutches after the show with an ankle injury. He's hoping he's going to be okay. Hot diggity damn, I interviewed Stephen Flo. For those of you who don't know, Stephen Flo is a Pearl Jam-inspired character that went viral after, I believe, it's Super Wrestlers. And I was able to interview him. He's seems like a very quiet, introverted guy, but we talked about the viral phenomenon. He's actually friends with Cocaine, the white version of Kane, and that guy actually helped name him, and he credited the guy who runs Super Wrestlers with the vision and all that stuff, and said that he's going to start taking more bookings. He's been wrestling for a number of years here and there, but now he's hoping to step it up quite a bit. He and his brother were actually named after pro wrestlers. He was named after Steve Austin. His brother was named after Eric Bischoff. Check out that interview. It's a good one. Man, we really brought you all the interviews this week. Starting, I think, 7 days ago, Mina Shirakawa, Big Boom AJ, Shane Taylor, Billy Starks, Lee Moriarty, Stephen Flo. Lee Moriarty spoke to Grapsody ahead of Final Battle, where he took on Nigel McGuinness. I don't believe that would be Nigel's last match, by the way. Billy Starks, a person I've interviewed in person a couple of times, Kentucky girl, ahead of her ROH Final Battle main event. And she said Tom DeLonge of Blink-182 actually reached out to her about her quest to use Aliens Exist from Blink-182 as her theme song. Hasn't happened quite yet. She said she doesn't think she'll ever know if it'll happen until like she gets to a venue. Shane Taylor, man, this was a great sit-down interview that I did at WrestleCade. I want to shout out the WrestleCade guys. Tracy Myers always runs an incredible event and is always so generous to us specifically. So if you are ever in the North Carolina area around Thanksgiving, you have to check out WrestleCade. It's a must visit for me. WWE does Survivor Series that weekend, but every year I am at WrestleCade enjoying myself. North Carolina becoming a home away from home, but he's so passionate about Ring of Honor is Shane Taylor. And a guy that I just really love talking to. I'll give you guys a quick anecdote, quick story. At Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, I had the opportunity to interview just one person of who I chose. And ROH is like, anybody you want, you pick. Who do you think would fit best? And I said, Shane Taylor. And they hit me with the, really? And it was in that moment that it sort of reinforced a point that Shane Taylor made. He was always overperforming during his matches. He was television champion, but they didn't quite promote him the way that he felt he should. That's a lot of what Shane Taylor Promotions came from. It's him promoting himself. So when they hit me with like that, really? I was like, hell yeah, really. I want somebody who wants to be there, and Shane Taylor wants to be there. And I've always respected that about him. Mina Shirakawa, we talked to her about coming over to the U.S. She said that there's not much time left on her current trip to the United States and that she's under contract to Stardom, not to AEW, but she's hoping to work there some more in the future. It was great. She was wonderful before, during, after the interview. Just promoted the hell out of it. Big Boom AJ, man, wonderful guy. He is how he appears on screen. Just a wonderful dude. And another funny story. So a guy that had been harassing me posted a clip of my Tony Khan interview and was like, oh my gosh, Sean looking off camera, being disrespectful. Big Justice was off camera, like looking through my camera, and his mom came over to kind of wrangle him. Like I was sitting there like, I wish this was on camera right now. So I kind of took my eyes off and was watching that. But Big Boom AJ told us he would be at Hammerstein, said that he's going to be in his cast or his air cast just a little bit longer, and that he'd be able to train probably in about 4 or 5 more weeks at this point, but that he is looking to get back in there. It does not seem like he has had his last match, which is very cool. Oh man, we have a lot of TNA departures to talk about. So there's a lot of information out there regarding TNA and the roster turnover and the like. So a lot of these deals, they have done their last loop, and now the deals will be up at the end of the year. That's not to say that they'll necessarily be gone. They might end up coming back, but TNA changing their strategy a little bit. Kushida was on his last contracted loop with TNA. AJ Francis, we'll see his contract expire at the end of the year after he had that really great match with Nick Nemeth. They have had some conversations there. Steph DeLander, her deal is up at the end of 2024. She is injured right now, so she hasn't been factored in as much. I know that TNA has some interest in bringing her back. Trent Seven was on his last contracted loop with TNA. He worked the Final Resolution show on December 13th and the following set of tapings. And then there's Aiden Prince, who finished up with TNA as an in-ring wrestler. His deal will be up on January 1st. However, we're told that he is actually sticking around to work behind the scenes. So a lot coming there. It's not done yet. We are asking around about a whole lot of contracts, a whole lot of deals. There's just a lot to dig into there and a lot of detail to really focus on, because I feel like there are elements of this that have been misreported. Like, people acted like there's a mass departure. There might be, but some of these people are quite possibly coming back. Also, Rhino finished up. So a lot of people with contracts coming up. A lot of these people were on what are called exclusive paid per appearance as well. Like, they had a contract there, but they would get their day fee, so to speak. And quite frankly, listen, this is my opinion. I don't ever understand the purpose of doing an exclusive paid per appearance unless there is a monthly stipend or salary tied to that. Like, for example, you sign the deal and no matter what, you get your $1,000 per month plus a day fee. I feel like that should happen. There's no reason to provide exclusivity to anybody just so they can book you for a per appearance fee. You know what I mean? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me from a contract standpoint. Let's get into the Q&A portion of the show. Lots of great questions today. Very excited. A lot of people asking about Kevin Owens' contract. I haven't been outright told that he signed a new contract, but I feel like it's safe to assume at this point. Would WWE bring Alberto Del Rio back? I don't know if this is a rib question or not, but there are people there that every year when he's like, oh, they're going to bring me back, they will give me a very colorful, no the fuck we're not answer. Which indie talent is likely to fill the holes in TNA? Well, I think there's a lot of great indie talent out there. Mance Warner, Mustafa Ali, Kevin Blackwood, Michael Oku, Myron Reed, Luke Curtis, Richard Holiday, Alec Price on the men's end. There's a whole lot out there. I think Dex Royal is really underrated. Joe Alonso is a good promo. A lot of those people they've brought in and just haven't done much with. Jordan Oliver, whenever he gets healed up, really, really good. On the women's side, Aaliyah Gray, Maggie Lee. I think Shaza's doing really great work. Brittany Brooks, Maya World, J-Rod, Amira, Tootie Lynn, Missa Kate. There's a ton out there. It's just a matter of what they see as value for their show and if they'll bring them in. You say that TNA contracts are per appearance, but they all seem to be up at the same time. Is that a fluke or is there a time aspect of that as well? Well, I mean, I wouldn't say a fluke. A lot of them are negotiated as being up. And their duration just happens to be at the end of the year. What promotion do you think is closest to filling the niche void left by PWG? I don't think there's anything remotely similar to PWG. Unless you mean the void of the big indie, I think Maple Leaf Pro can be that. But as far as replicating what PWG did, I don't think so. Is it a foregone conclusion that Jordynne Grace will be going to WWE when her TNA contract expires? I wouldn't say foregone conclusion. It's quite likely. But I wouldn't say foregone conclusion until the ink dries. What have you heard about ROH negotiations with networks? Just that they exist. No real details beyond that. I haven't heard that it's close or imminent or anything like that. Who's going to be Seth Rollins' opponent at WrestleMania? I'm leaning towards Gunther right now. They've kept them apart for quite some time. Any update on Samoa Joe? I would imagine he's going to be doing some press for Twisted Metal soon. I believe he's good to go, doesn't have any injuries, was just filming and the like. Why does AEW refuse to do replays of finishes? That's a good question. It's one that I've asked about recently and haven't gotten an answer, but I will continue to ask. Why are the Sour Grap shows not getting to the RSS feeds? That is a question for Kate. Kate uploads those. What usually happens is if you want to put a video on Patreon now, they make you not list it as a podcast. So I'll mention that to Kate and see what we can do. Any news on Omos? Why is he on not TV? Is he still with WWE? He is still with WWE. I do not know why he's not on TV. They have primarily used him for media and promotional spots, and occasionally they'll have him do live events and stuff like that. They haven't used him at all since WrestleMania weekend, but pretty much the limit of him being on TV is Battle Royals, Royal Rumbles, and the like. Like, he did the Andre this year, he did the Royal Rumble this year, he did the SummerSlam Battle Royal last year, he did the Royal Rumble last year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they'll have him in those. I remember they had him in Money in the Bank, stuff like that. I don't have a real answer for you other than he is still there. Hey, SRS, newfound glory hater here. What bands or artists are you currently jamming to? I actually like Newfound Glory. I listened to a song of theirs today. Royal Blood, very good. Silver Sun Pickups, been listening to a lot of them. I like that new Breaking Benjamin joint. Listen, I'm a big Breaking Benjamin fan going back to my teenage years when I was a kid. And I, you know, there have been times I'm like, damn, are they washed? Are they done? By far the band I've listened to most and seen the most live. And they had that new single drop and it was really, really good. I saw them live last year after seeing them a few years ago, and they weren't very good, to them being very good again, adding another singer to the band, and it kicks ass. So I'm very excited about that. Optimistic about a new album, because it's been the longest that they've ever went without releasing an album. Hey, Sean, not wrestling related, have you been watching the AFC North edition of Hard Knocks? Don't hate me, but I'm a Steelers fan. It's really softened me on the current iteration of the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase in particular comes off like a really likable dude, and I want to see him succeed. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I love Joe Burrow. Listen, I won't hate you because you're a Steelers fan. I would do anything to have Mike Tomlin as a coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think he's the best coach in the NFL. I personally think he's one of the best coaches of the last, probably one of the best coaches in NFL history, all things considered. But definitely one of the best in the NFL. I watched the first two episodes and then started to skip to the Bengals parts. Something that really annoyed me was them completely ignoring T. Higgins and his contract situation and Joe Burrow's comments about his contract situation, because those are very, very heavy talking points here in the Cincinnati area. And it's something that just kind of got glossed over. So I'm like, if they're glossing over that, what are they glossing over for the other teams? Sorry, bit of a long-winded question. Do you know if any of the other on-air personnel in wrestling companies, like refs, interviewers, commentators, have other positions in the company, such as when Jim Ross was in talent relations? Yes, referees are usually on ring crew. I believe it's Jason Ayers, who is like their timekeeper backstage, like manages things and keeps things on track in that regard. I don't even know if John Cone is a ref now, but he is involved in talent relations. There are a lot of people like that. And there are a whole lot of people that maintain multiple jobs. What were the backstage reactions to Danhausen's return? A lot of people happy. Most of those people worked with him for a very long time on the independent circuit, still do work with him on the independent circuit. And the people that I talked to there were happy to see him back, happy to hear the reaction that he got, and hopeful that it will turn into more. And it seems like it won't just be a one-off. If Kenny Omega does come back at World's End, what do you think he is going to be his big return angle? Either some involvement with the Death Riders or some involvement with Okada. I think that's probably the direction we're headed. I think it ends up with like Fletcher, Ricochet, Ospreay, Okada as like the final four for the Continental Classic. And I think that Okada probably ends up winning because he is the Continental Champion, and that just seems to be the way that they go. And there's a natural history there. Plus, they sort of wrote Kenny Omega off earlier this year with that. So that's what I'm expecting. In your opinion, do you think we'll ever see Ricky Starks on AEW TV again? Yeah, I think so, because he's willing to do it. He's just not in the country right now. Now that the rumored change to Roman Punk was made public, where do all the other players surrounding them go? I think we'll go Seth Rollins, Gunther. I think it's probably going to be Cody, Cena. I've been saying this a while. I think Solo versus Jacob Fatu is probably the direction as well. Drew is an interesting one because Drew could face any number of people, but Sammy against Kevin Owens would make an awful lot of sense again. Drew is a big question mark. I'm like, who can they put him against because he's white hot right now? Who will finally beat Athena for the belt? Will Billy or Athena ever move to the AEW roster regularly? Yeah, both of them will. As of right now, if I had to name somebody, I would still say it's Billy Starks. But other than that, I'm going to say TBD. That's what I said about Roman Reigns until Cody came along. That's what I said about Gunther almost the entire time. But I think it's a to-be-determined situation. Is TNA genuinely retiring the X Division title? I don't think they're retiring it, no. If you could greenlight a Hollywood biopic about one wrestler right now, who would it be and which director would you give the keys to? I would do a Dominic Mysterio style movie. If you haven't seen the Weird Al Yankovic biopic, it would be like that. Like, it wouldn't take itself seriously. It'd be very dramatized. and I would have, I think it's Eric Apple, who directed and wrote that, do that as well. I think that would be very, very funny. Or maybe a character-based movie with The Fiend, Wyatt family, maybe even the original Wyatt family, and have Mike Flanagan do something with it. I think Mike Flanagan is incredible. Does Rock want to fight Cody or Roman? Hell if I know, man. I don't know what that guy wants to do. Any updates on Megan Bain to AEW? I have not heard any updates whatsoever. Just that they had had conversations at one point. How great was that backstage video of Commander after he won the ROH TV title? Commander has gained a ton of praise backstage. Like, there were people taking notice of the Shelton Benjamin match as well. This shit meant something to him. It really meant something to him. And I got somebody asking about an update on the Rey Fénix situation. No update. I don't think those posts did him any favors. I think that he was probably going to get his release until that happened. But if you're losing a luchador that can do unbelievable things, like Rey Fénix, who is going to do phenomenal in WWE, as is Penta, Commander is an awful nice guy to step up and be like, I got next. That guy is unbelievable. He fills that void very, very well. Will Cody ever turn heel? I think so. I mean, there have only been a couple people I've ever heard of, Bianca and John Cena, that have been very, like, how do I say this? Adamantly against turning heel, and I think Bianca will eventually. John Cena was willing to at one point. But I think Cody will, yeah. What have you heard about Bandido coming back on ROH? It seems like it's looking now like he's in the Jericho Vortex. I think he's going to get a big push. I think he will beat Jericho for the ROH title, is what I believe. I think that's the direction they're headed for him. It seems like he's okay now after that spot on Final Battle. But we'll see. I'm continuing to ask about that, but I think that he'll do that. Thoughts on who should be the one to dethrone Mox? In my opinion, and my eyes, a Kingston return and win would be killer. Perhaps so if you want to do the We Love AEW thing. But I think Hangman or Omega doing it would be kind of cool. But also, you kind of want it to be a next up guy. I could see them making it be Darby. Can you provide any detail on how the relationship thawed between Danhausen and AEW ROH? Yeah, they called him the day before the show, and they told him to come do the show, and he said, okay, it's my job, so I'll come do the show. That's pretty much it. Like, he's been very transparent the whole time. Like, it's not him refusing to work or anything. It was a situation definitely where he had told them he had some family stuff, wouldn't be able to work as many Saturdays, and then he started to work Saturday indie dates, and AEW looked at it and said, well, what the hell's going on here? And he would probably be the first to tell you, yeah, that probably could have been communicated better, but he's also a guy that's like, they can just tell me to come to work. It's my job. And they did that. Have you heard any reactions from talent or staff in WWE regarding the Lee Fitting piece from The Athletic this week, particularly women in WWE? Was anyone surprised the story came out about Fitting, given how they've known him in WWE for the last year he's been there? I would imagine, and this is a hunch, not a report, that considering WWE's proximity to UFC and UFC's proximity to ESPN, that there was some hint that this was going on, or this had gone on. Controversy is no stranger to Lee Fitting, despite his incredible talent at his day job. He was banned from the Emmys as a result of it, and certainly had Emmy quality work, still does. But those that I speak to at least claim that they have not experienced that in WWE. Don't know if that's a best behavior thing, but this was a story that I believe probably made it through a few rounds of lawyers before it came out. 'Tis the season. What's your favorite or most memorable Christmas holiday moment or gimmick from wrestling's past? One of my favorite Christmas time memories, okay, a couple of them. Dominic getting arrested is a great one. Triple H and Shawn Michaels, their sham of a match was good. I remember Santa Claus, which was Balls Mahoney dressed up as Santa Claus with Ted DiBiase. And even though not thrilled about him as a person, Alberto Del Rio running over Santa Claus was hilarious. That was so funny. Sean, rumors have it that there will be a new WWE title for the winner of Tribal Combat. Is it true, or has the idea even been pitched yet? I hope not. I really hope not. I mean, the Tribal Chief is the title. They have made that as valuable as anything. We don't need no damn People's Championship or Tribal Champion, anything like that. The Ulafala is important to that family. They have established that for 4 years. Look at the WWE title situation. Roman Reigns had the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship. Then they created a commemorative gold championship to signify both of them. Cody Rhodes effectively won all three of those, right? With the Universal Championship still existing. And apparently the gold title replacing that or something, right? Don't know. Then he wins a crown jewel championship. Okay, neat, for decoration. Then they do the Winged Eagle Championship, of which Kevin Owens has. So in a way, they got five world championships running around, like in the shadows and all that stuff. Give us some clarity. And by the way, I love that they're using the Winged Eagle. Questions about clarity on Jade Cargill. Listen, I know that they're... he says, I know it was reported she isn't out because of a legitimate injury. She is, though. She is. I can't help what anybody else reports, but she is on the injury list, has told people she's injured. That's really it. She ain't there. When wrestlers are signed to an amount of dates per year, is a double taping scheduled one account as one date or two? Well, it depends on how their contract is structured. Shows per year, dates per year, are travel dates included, are media dates included? It varies. But there were some people in TNA who claimed that their day rate was being like manipulated by some stuff like that. Don't know how much truth there is to it, though. When Raw goes to Netflix, will it be on at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern or sometime else? No, it'll be on 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, per usual. Who's a wrestler in 2025 that WWE need to look out for in each major wrestling company? I would say Rey Fénix in one, Jordynne Grace technically in another. That's a tough one, because I don't know who WWE is necessarily afterwards. Joel Wood says, we saw the lawsuit against Vince and sponsors dropping is what caused TKO to get rid of him. We've seen Dana White say some wild stuff, even slap his wife on camera. Do you think there's anything that would cause TKO to be like, okay, Dana has to go? Yeah, there would be, like, if something like the Vince thing came about, I think they would probably push him out at this point. But I think that Dana White certainly was more bulletproof than Vince, because at least there was an established track record of Vince not being around and the company not just succeeding and staying afloat, but thriving without him. So they had no real motivation to keep him around. In fact, he was a nuisance to a lot of people. Is there any chance we get ratings for Raw on Netflix? Think the first episode will do a huge number with fans who haven't had the right channels, watching it with online streams and old fans returning. I don't want to make this prediction, but it would not surprise me to see press releases from both WWE, Netflix, WBD, AEW saying that their first shows of the year are the most watched episodes of in history in some capacity. But I highly doubt that we get ratings for Raw on Netflix. Maybe some information will leak that they provide to advertisers, but that's about it. Since Toni Storm finally got signed and is all elite, any word on how long of a deal she signed? I am digging that gimmick. I think it is Timeless Tony playing Toni Storm. Do you think the Liv and Rhea feud will be ending at the debut of Netflix, or do you think they'll push it till Mania? I think it's got to end there. People are sick of it. People are ready to move on. Will we see Cardona in ROH more, or was it a one-off appearance in the promotion? I think you will see him more down the line. He made good impressions. He made the right people happy there, and they liked his stuff. What is Dragon Lee's contract status with WWE? As best I know, he's got quite a bit left, but not to be aggregated. Is it possible we see Charlotte return at the Rumble, or possibly Saturday night's main event prior to that? Yeah, I think it is very possible. When people were like seeing her work out with bands earlier this year, you know, there were, oh my God, she's a freak of nature. Look how far she's come already. And listen, it is amazing. She is a freak of nature. And I say that in a very respectful manner. She is very special as an athlete. But with the injury that she got, it was highly unlikely that she wrestled at all in 2024. And we had reported that. And here we are, unless she comes back on the, the SmackDown or Raw these upcoming weeks, then she won't have wrestled in 2024. And I think that the Royal Rumble is a much more likely goal. And also, it would be a good reaction. It would play really well, right? Because a lot of people will be like, oh my God, she's coming back. They're definitely going to have her win it, right? And it would cause that drama there. What percent do you put on an in-ring to return for Big E? Do you think we've seen the last of him in the ring? I think we've seen the last of him competitively in the ring, unfortunately. It's unfortunate, but I mean, people that I know had been calling, or that he knew, had been referring to him as a retired wrestler for quite some time. Will Penta be debuting during the holiday tour, or they wait till after the break on Raw or on Netflix? I think they'll do it on Raw and Netflix. Where do you see Indy Hartwell appearing first once her 90 days is done? Probably the Grand Slam Australia show. Do you see Andrade, Gable, and Dragon Lee getting a big push in 2025? I don't. I wish I would, but I don't. What is your biggest tinfoil hat wrestling conspiracy that you believe? Probably that Vince McMahon didn't really give a damn about ECW and gladly took that TNN deal so it would eventually kill ECW and he could have its assets. I don't even know if that's that crazy to believe. By God. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much. Had an unfortunate loss in the family this week and wanted to say thank you for all of you who said very nice things. I do have a few days off this week, but Fightful Select Stories will continue. Going to spend some time with my family for the next few weeks and try to stay on the lighter side of wrestling and all that stuff. But I wanted to say I appreciate all of you. Until next time, my friends, we're out.